Praise the Lord. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Man, praise the Lord. Amen. You have to forgive him a little sweaty, but man, I got to worshiping God up here, and I didn't care what was happening. Blazed God. But the thing I want you to know is if you can't praise God like that privately, I don't know about your worship in public. Don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down. You got to learn to worship him like that privately. That's what we're teaching, how to extend that to private worship. If we could ever worship God privately, I promise you the worship in our sanctuaries will blow the roof off, literally. And that's where we're headed. That's why God wants to teach on this stuff. Amen. So, you know, last week we were talking about how many were here last week? Well, you missed half. How many wasn't here last week, if I meant to say? Well, you missed half your life because we had a good time. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Some of you look at me like, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm kidding. But we had a good time last night. I enjoyed last week's message, and I told them, I said, that was just part one. So tonight we're going to give you part two.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to pass a review just a little bit. Worship is the fountain of living water that flows from the throne of God and is available for every believer. Every believer has the opportunity to spend time to worship God. I don't care what people have told you. I don't care what your experience has been in the past. I used to try to worship God privately, and yeah, it was like I was a piece of meat in a cold meat locker. You know what I mean? Just sitting there going, man, is this doing any good? But you know what I found out? The fact that that was going on, what was happening was that was the change that had to take place so I could be ushered into his presence. Amen. See, we're going to talk about this eventually. I keep teasing you about it. We're going to talk about it eventually about the brazen altar. See, Jesus is our brazen altar advocate. See, he went to that altar, and that brazen altar advocate was the altar that was where that lamb's, well, I hope I don't get too gross on you now because we're going to eat in a little bit here. Praise the Lord. But that lamb's throat was cut from ear to ear. And blood ran. And that's when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. But guess what? You that priest now. You that priest. You can go in there. And Jesus is your brazen altar advocate. He went that way for you. So now you have the ability to throw up your hands right in the middle of when all H-E double hockey sticks is breaking loose in your life. Throw up your hands and give him praise and give him glory and give him honor. And he goes, heaven, stop. Somebody on earth is giving me praise.
Oh,
that's true. It's true. He loves it, man. He doesn't care when you plop your check in the offering envelope, that bucket. Oh, he gets excited about that, but he's not really excited about that. He loves it when you come to church. He loves it when you read your Bible. But man, he really gets excited. He loses himself when you begin to worship him here on the earth. Here on the earth. And as you worship him tonight, go home and worship him like that in behind closed doors. He's there. Amen. We learned that for 4,000 years, there wasn't a person on earth, and Robert was trying to preach my message a while ago, on earth that could worship the Father the way he wanted to because they had a fallen nature. We had their own equipment. We didn't have a nature like God. This is why in the Old Testament, Abraham was called a friend of God. Now, I'm not going to fuss at you musicians when you sing that song, and Israel Houghton, it's a good song, and he sings, I'm a friend of God. And y'all just love, I am a friend of God. Yeah, yeah. And I'm going, not me. Not me. You can be a friend if you want to. I'm his son. Come on now, don't shout me down now. I'm a son. I've been a friend long enough. I'm a son now. See, when you come to my house as the friend, you come to the living room and you where you stop. You sit right there. But now my kids will come to the front door and they'll go to the bedroom and every other room in the house. Why? Because they're relatives. They're sons. They're related. See, when you're a son, you can go in God's lap and just sit there and say, Father, I just want to lay here. I just want to crawl up in your lap and give you praise. And he goes, I've been waiting on this time. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. But you now have the right equipment. You have a new nature, and you can begin to worship him. Jesus at Jacob's well in John or Luke 4:23. I'll get to it in a minute. He's pouring out his heart to the woman at the well, and he's telling her about this thing called worship. And we've read these passages for so long, and we've missed this concept of private worship. But he is revealing to us the close relationship we can have with our Heavenly Father through extended worship. And very few Christians ever connect. The day I found out about private worship, man, I'm telling you, what you saw me doing, I mean, man, I got, listen, I do this all the time. Amen. This is how I worship God, privately. Mm-hmm. So when I come here to worship God, that ain't what you, I ain't putting on. This is what I do. This is what I do all the time. Especially when all H-E double hockey sticks is breaking loose in my life. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the more you go into God, the more the enemy is going to try to resist you. So what that, you know what it tells me? The more I give him praise. Praise the Lord. Let me go on before I lose my time. God is first my Father, and then he is my God. See, he is not just my God, he's my Father. Whoa, you didn't get that. You didn't get that. See, you he's not God. He's my Father. I have relationship with him. I have a relationship with him. He has given me everlasting life. He secured my future with an abundance of everything I will ever need that is inexhaustible, as limitless as the power he beholds as creator. But as my Father, he wants from me the fellowship that emanates from my new nature as a result of my new birth. So he is creator. He has limitless power, but he wants my fellowship. He wants my, I didn't say he wants yours. He wants my fellowship. Amen. I don't know about you. You have to say it for yourself. He wants my fellowship. He wants my fellowship. He wants me to fellowship with him. See, he doesn't say, now, Elvin, so-and-so ain't been up here in a while to worship me. No. He says, now, you need to come by more often, son. That's what he tells me. He doesn't let me know what you're doing. He only reminds me of what I should be doing. He wants my praise. And he's saying the same thing about you. He wants your praise as well. He wants your praise. Church, you can read the Bible. You can do all those things. God wants relationship. That was the whole idea behind being born again. It was not for church attendance. It was not so you could pay your tithe. I know I'm preaching against some good messages here. I know I'm stepping on somebody's message right about now. But that's not why you got born again. You didn't get born again to get you a big old Bible. You didn't get born again to have you a Christian ringtone. You didn't get born again to have you a Christian screensaver. That is not why you got born again. You got born again to have relationship. Amen. You got born again to be a son. That's why you're born again. And he ain't looking for a ride. He's looking for a relationship. He's looking for fellowship. He wants you to pull aside when everything is just falling apart. He wants you to pull aside when you can't stand your neighbor. You can't stand your boss. You can't stand so-and-so. He says, pull aside, because that's not what I made you. That's not who I made you. I made you much more than that. And quit wasting your time hating on someone, because all I do in my time, son, is I love on people. I just love on them. I say, God, you love my worst enemy. He says, love them a lot more than you do. I love him, son. I love him. The Old Testament saints worship out of their mind and soul and intellect. They gave him as much as they of themselves as they possibly could. See, they could not fellowship with him. And it's sad to say that's how most Christians are worshiping God, out of their soul and their mind. But there's a deeper relationship to God than that. Oh, I'm preaching good right about now. Oh, he's getting me excited. There's a deeper relationship with God than just simply saying, oh, God, I love you. Oh, God, you're great. No, he wants you to say it out of the inner priesthood of your heart. He wants to hear you cry out to him and say, I love you more than life itself. That's how he wants to hear you. He wants to hear you say that. That's when he first taught me. He said, I want to hear you say it, son. I'm not concerned about Eric over there. I'm concerned about you. I'll deal with Eric on my time. I'm dealing with you right now. Even though God loved them, the Old Testament, he was limited to the amount of closeness he could have with them because they had a fallen nature and they could only worship him, now get this, through the veil of animal sacrifice. Our relationship goes far beyond that. The kind of spontaneous worship in heaven is possible for us to have here on the earth. Why? Because we've been born from above. The same joy that he releases when worship erupts in heaven will also be released in us as we engage in extended worship. See, in heaven, let me give you the scene in heaven. You got the Father and the Son, and there's an empty seat where the Holy Ghost, well, he's down here on the earth. And you've got these angels, they're just going around heaven, and every time they circle heaven, every time they circle the throne, they are circling God, and they go, glory, glory. You know why they're saying that? Because every time they go around him, they see something they didn't see before. Woo! Glory to God. You know what I just told you? When you get to heaven, there'll never be a day like yesterday. Every day will be different. You'll go home and you'll say, man, you think tomorrow's going to be better? And God will go, oh, yeah, it's going to be a whole lot better than today. Every day will surpass itself. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. That's how extended worship is. Every time you'll see more of him than you saw the last time you worshiped him. Oh, come on, somebody. You'll begin to go, I didn't know you were like this. Christians, we have barely scratched the surface of who God is. And we're not going to know who he is until we engage in extended worship. There's got to be a communion. I was made to be a spirit because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he seeketh such. Oh, he's sitting there going. Where they? I got a billion Christians in America, but where they at? Where are they worshiping? Who are they worshiping? Because they ain't worshiping him. They're worshiping their problems. You're worshiping your anger. You're worshiping your loneliness. You're worshiping all kind of stuff. You're not worshiping him. The time you spend worshiping that stuff, spend that time worshiping God. Glory to God. Well, I don't know about you, but I done preached myself happy, and I'm just not even passing my message yet. In heaven, the waves of his glory cause you to erupt in worship spontaneously. That will bring him joy. Oh, goodness gracious. But listen to this. You can bring him this same joy right now. If you were here earlier tonight, we brought him some joy. We brought him some joy. That's what he enjoys. It's just spontaneous worship. Unplanned, unrehearsed. Don't know what we're going to say. Don't know how long we're going to say it. Don't know if we're going to be able to stop saying it. And we just keep worshiping him. Now, somebody would walk by here and go, what's wrong with them nuts up in there? Well, you know something? Them nuts up in there are going to be the nuts in heaven you're going to be around. Because if you don't act that way in heaven, they're going to say, what's wrong with you?
That's right.
What spirit are you on? Come on, somebody. Amen. In the kingdom, the thing that separates us from him is not distance. For there is no distance between us and him. In the kingdom of God, there's no distance between us and him. He's here right now. Yeah. I know people said, oh, God, won't you come? Come? Come from where? He's already here, honey. He's here. But rather, our spiritual death, our maturity, that's what separates us. How mature are you? How much flesh have you been shedding off? Don't shout me down back there now. Don't shout me down. How much flesh have you shed? So he can come and sit down and spend time with you like he wants to. However, by the new birth, we have been placed back into his presence, and now we can worship and fellowship him as though we were actually in heaven. This kind of worship here has a great effect on our faith and our ability to receive from God. When you begin to worship God, your faith will take on a brand new level. Amen. You'll begin to believe things you couldn't believe for. You'll begin to believe for your neighbor to get his needs met. Don't shout me down now. See, right now we're going, God, I can barely believe you for my own needs. But God says, what I put in you is more than you realize. See, the kind of faith that he's building in us, somebody should stand up here and say, Father, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, everybody in this room is healed. And if you knew, that's how we prayed tonight. That's how we prayed. That's the kind of faith God's looking for. We've barely scratched the surface. We've barely scratched the surface, Christian. We've got a ways to go. We've got to get into our closets, and we got to begin to get rid of some of this flesh and go, God, I need more of you. I want more fellowship with you. Amen. The church should long to fellowship and commune with him. Let's talk about types and shadows as we start out on some new ground tonight. The Old Testament worship was a type and shadow of the New Testament church. The blood from animal sacrifice was a type and shadow of the blood of Jesus. How many of you know in 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, Solomon, when he had built the temple, he dedicated it. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he slew 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 head of sheep just to simply to dedicate the temple of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is the temple of God today? And who have we been built by? Our temple has not been built by hands. It's been built by what? Been built by God. We've been born from above. We are the temple of God now. And the blood of Jesus represents, is the type and shadow. See, the shadow is the one, the thing that makes the shadow is the thing that we're now entered into, and that's Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have that kind of blood. Now, when they entered into that temple, the Bible says this, that when they begin to come in and to minister, I don't want to get it mixed up, but when they came in to minister, they said that the glory of God just hit that place. That the ministers could not stand the minister. Well, what is that type and shadow of? That's the Holy Ghost, man. That's who we are. That's what we got in us. When I begin to give him praise, I begin to say, Holy Ghost. I don't say Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, take me to Jesus that I may give him praise. Take me to my King that I may worship him in spirit and in truth. Show me the proper protocol. See, the thing is, you've been going to Jesus and you've been saying, hey, Jesus, what's happening, man? What's going on? There's protocol. Amen. If President Trump, whether you like him or not, I don't know whether you do or you don't matter to me a bit. But if President Trump called you right now and said, I'm going to send Air Force One by Intercontinental Airport and I want you to hop on Air Force One and come see me, do you think you're going like you dressed right now? Absolutely not. If you go up there and say, hey, Prez, what's happening, man? You're not going to see the president. You're not going to talk to the president. What I'm saying is there's protocol. Well, if there's protocol to see just an important dignitary in the earth, there's protocol in coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's a protocol. And that protocol is I ask the Holy Spirit, take me to my King Jesus. Take me to him. Not literally, but spiritually, take me to him. He's already in me. It's not that I'm trying to gain access. It's that I'm trying to address him as King. Mm-hmm. Jesus is King, and my Father reigns. Amen. He's King, and that's how I address him. He's King. There's nobody bigger than him. There's no circumstances that he can't handle. How many of you remember the story I told you about Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro? Huh? I'm going to keep saying that. Come on now. That's how I preach it. But listen, when they were in that fiery furnace and Jesus walked in there with them, he didn't come in with the fire extinguisher and go, shh, put the fire out, did he? He didn't come in there and go, blow the fire out, did he? Why didn't he? Because he's King. It wasn't about the fire. It was about him. And he walked them out of that fire without the smell of smoke. 7 times hotter than normal. And it astonished the king that was there. It astonished him so much. He said, how did this happen? When I remember what they said before they went in, oh, King, we believe our God will save us. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. But we ain't going to bow. Amen. See, that's what you need to tell the devil. Amen. You know, you may try to kill me, but I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm going to keep worshiping God and keep worshiping. See, when I first went into the worship closet, that's what my flesh told me. He ain't coming. He don't want to talk to you. He's mad at you. He doesn't need you. You're not the right kind of person. He wants to talk to guys like Joel Osteen and guys like T.D. Jakes and guys. He don't want to talk to you. Why would he talk to you, fast-talking black preacher? What makes you so significant? What makes me significant is that the blood. The blood. That makes me significant, the blood. Nothing great about me, it's just that the blood that's on me. That makes me count. And I can come boldly to that throne. And I can come in and give him praise. And he wants my praise just as much as he wants Joel Osteen's praise. Not knocking Joel Osteen, but he wants my praise as much as he wants Pastor Joel's praise. He loves my praise. He tells me, son, I love your praise. You have a unique way of praising me, son. You have a unique way of praising me, son. I said, I'm going to keep going. He said, oh, just keep coming with it, son. You're doing all right. And he'll tell you the same thing. Listen, he loves you. He wants a relationship with you. That's what you're hearing me say. I have a relationship with him. We talk. You know how y'all say it in the streets? We kick it, man. Me and Jesus, we kick it. We talk about these things. Jesus, what about this guy over here? What should I do about that? And what should I do about that? And what should I do about that? You don't think he's interested? He's very much interested. Let's talk about your father's expectation. In John 4:23, we see, which is where the woman at the well, he expects us to worship him. He says this, but the hour cometh. Now, this is Jesus speaking. John 4:23. The hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers. Everybody say true worshipers. Now, I used to teach this that there was true worshipers, there was a false worshiper. That wasn't quite right. See, I keep correcting myself because I want to make sure I get this right. He wasn't talking about false worshipers. What he's saying is it wasn't the kind of worship that he really wanted. Because those worshipers in the Old Testament had a fallen nature. We have a new nature, and we are called the true worshipers. Amen. But now here's what I would call us in the church today. We're non-worshipers. Because we don't stop and give him praise enough. See, let me tell you something about the devil. Just as soon as you get out of one problem, he's sitting over there on waiting. He's got another waiting on you, man. And if you keep responding to all of his garbage and all of his junk, you're never going to worship God. You've got to take a point and say, I'm drawing a line right here. I'm going to worship you. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I don't care what happens in 10 years. I don't care what happens next 10 minutes. I'm going to worship you. And during that time, something bad may happen. But here's the question. Will you continue to worship him? He said, a true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit. In spirit. In spirit. That means that's your new nature. In truth. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truths. In spirit and in truth. For the Father does what?
He seeks.
What is that? Where they at? Where the worshipers? Where the worshipers? Where they at? Oh, you missed a good time to shout. We missed a good time to shout. Now, God does not want us to wait till we get to heaven to worship him. He wants our worship while we're here on the earth. He expects us to fellowship with him now. Anybody can worship God in heaven, when it's spontaneous and the waves of glory begin to just break out in heaven, you'll be in heaven and you'll be going about your business, and God will just all of a sudden come and just get in him, and he'll go, and he'll just release the wave of his joy. And the angels in heaven, they get excited when this happens, man. They begin to worship him too. Then there's 24 guys around the altar, and they begin to get drunk. They throw down their crowns. They fall on the ground, and they begin to worship him. And all of a sudden, all heaven erupts in praise, and can't nobody stop it. Now, here's my point. Here's my point. Anybody can worship God in heaven because you have no resistance. You have no enemy. You don't have anybody resisting you. See, when I go into that worship closet, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I give you praise, Jesus. Oh, I give you praise and I worship you. Man, here comes my unrenewed mind. Do you know that this has got to get done and that's got to get done? Do you realize this person don't like you and that person don't like you? Do you realize this happened? Do you realize you got that going on? And all of a sudden now, you're not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You've just given him lip service. Let that sit there for a second. You're just giving him lip service. No effort to worship God in heaven. Here on the earth is where you're challenged. Our worship brings him much joy, and it's one of the few things that you can give him from your heart. See, if a very wealthy man invited you to his birthday party, what are you going to bring the man? What you going to bring him? He got a gift. What you going to bring him? Everything you got to bring, he already has. Or he can go buy it himself. Don't need you to buy him nothing. Huh? Okay. He can buy loyalty. What do you bring God? That's the whole point I'm getting to. What do you give God that he didn't already own? What do you give him? He owns it all anyway. What can man give to God? There's one thing that man can give to God, and that's his praise. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why you were created. Now, God could have made you a robot, and you went around going, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. You could have been like that. That ain't how he made you. He made you with the free will, and then he just began to put a place in your heart that would be void until you begin to fill it with him. And when you begin to fill it with him, then you realize all them drugs and all them relationships that you had in the natural, that's what you've been chasing, is that kind of joy. See, I can have a kind of high that man has never had before. And listen, you're talking to a fella that smoked marijuana, snorted methamphetamines, cocaine. What else did I do? I probably did some other stuff. I just can't. Oh, what's them things? Black mollies. I did all that stuff, folks. Country boy. Coming to the city, getting hip, man. Thinking I'm going to live my life. And wrecked it. And realized, man, I'm going nowhere fast. But that's what we were. But not now. But I can have a high that I've been searching for all of my life. Amen. You know, they always say that. I remember the high that I can recall. I put it like that. The high I got when I first smoked rock cocaine. Of course, that was before they had crack cocaine. Oh yeah, y'all think I'm shallow, huh? I go way back. Rock cocaine. And the rush you get when you drink, man, it's a high that you're thinking there's nobody, can't nobody. I am Godzilla. That's how bad I am. I am Godzilla. Can't nobody beat me. 165 pounds, wet, talking about I'm invincible. Here's the point. All my life I've been chasing that high. And then one day I began to meet him one-on-one, and I found it. I found it. And it was even better than the one that I had before. There you go. The difference was, this time when I woke up, I knew what I had already done. I knew what I had done was good. No other times, I was going, how did I get that car home? How did I get it home? And who did I hurt on the way? Because there'd be times when I would just black out. I wouldn't remember these things. Now you're saying, are you bright? No, I'm just letting you know, listen, if God can use somebody like me, he can use anybody. Amen. That's all I'm telling you. Hallelujah. That's all I'm telling you that. Glory. You ain't so messed up that God can't get a hold of you. All you got to do is make up in your mind, God, I want to live for you, and start teaching me how to live for you. In 2001, 2002, somewhere back in there, I said, God, I'm tired of being a regular church member. I'm tired of being just a guy that takes his Bible to church and calls himself a Christian and has a Christian t-shirt and all that kind of stuff. God, I want to have the power. I want the power of God in my life. I don't want to be like the regular Christians. I don't want somebody to come in, man, I got cancer. Can you help me? I want to say, yeah. But while the rest of them go, we can find somebody to pray for you. Knowing good and well, you know good and well you ain't got enough faith to heal their sickness and disease than a man in the moon. Let me go on. The joy we bring him in heaven through our worship is not the same joy we can bring him now. There is no distance between us and him, and what separates us from him cannot be measured by a standard of distance, but by rather by spiritual death. Those that are spiritually dead cannot worship him in spirit and in truth. Those of us that are born again, we can. But now we have been placed in his presence, and we can worship him and fellowship with him as though we were in heaven right now. The reason this is now possible is because of the new birth. Glory to God. I've been born from above. I've been born again. I have the right equipment now. I can hook up with him spirit to spirit. Our worship not only empowers us to expect God to answer our petitions, but it also affects our faith and the ability to receive from him. There's coming a day and hour, Christian, that if you'll spend time in private and extended worship, your prayers are going to be answered far greater than what you're seeing now. Many of you are bored with your Christian walk because you say, I asked God for stuff and God ain't never giving it to me. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. He exalts his word above his own name. There's not one promise that is going to fall to the ground that he's not going to keep. The reason why he's not answering your prayers ain't his problem, it's yours. And I'm the only guy that can tell you that, because everybody else, you keep paying them your tithe and your offering, and they won't tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen, we got blue buckets back there for offering. You ain't got to put a dime in them buckets, because I don't believe for you for my finances. Ever since this Bible study has been opened, I've believed God for every dime to pay for the rent. I don't ask you for a dime. Now, I give you an opportunity because God asked me to. But I don't need your money. Now, most pastors go, no, don't say that. No, the buckets will be empty. Listen, he'll talk to somebody in Japan and say, I want you to write this fast-talking black preacher a $1,000 check. Do you hear me? This is what extended worship will do. Your faith will begin to elevate. Your faith will begin to grow. Not dependent upon you. You will let me down. In fact, I'll let you down. Don't depend upon me. Put your faith in God. Extended worship will saturate our spirit, soul, and body with his presence. The more you worship God, the Holy Spirit, now get this. You need to get this. He'll permeate your spirit with his presence. As you continue to worship him, the effect that he has on your spirit will then permeate your soul. And the effects that he has on your soul will begin to permeate your senses. Until to the degree that his presence not only permeates your body, but it precedes you in everywhere you go. Now, here's what I mean by that. You've been worshiping God. And someone calls you and says, we got a cancer patient in stage 4 cancer. Now, before you be like, I'd go, but I got something to do, and I really can't get over there right about now. But now you go, give me the address. I just got out of worship with my father. I've been worshiping him for the last several months. Give me the address, and you'll walk in there, and that presence will go before you in that room. And when you get to that room, the faith of God will begin to rise and elevate, and you'll begin to wonder, why do I think I have dominion over this stuff? Because you do. Because you do. You do? You aren't walking there going, this is the big C. No, 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 no. You go in and say, cancer, you bow your knee. That's where the church is headed. That's where the church has got to be. Listen, you know how the world doesn't want anything to do with church, with mainstream churches now? You know why? There's no power in it. And if I was a heathen, I wouldn't want your religion either. Why I want to come and hang around you when you want what I want? You would want my money, you want my cars, my houses, my women, everything. You want what I got. I don't want what you got. Because you got no power. At least with money and cars and fame, I've got power. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the church has power. The church has got to learn to start walking in that power.
Amen.
Just because you've never seen it, it does not mean it doesn't exist. Just means you haven't tapped into it. But we're on our way. If we'll begin to spend extended time with God, one-on-one, we'll come into a service like this, and they'll bring them in from MD Anderson Hospital, line them up in the hallway, and the shadow as I'm passing by. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, we look at the book of Acts, and we think the book of Acts is all that in a bag of Cheetos. You know what God tells me? Son, I want to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that you could ever read in the book of Acts. I'm telling you, can you imagine what this could do to our services, our families, our neighborhoods? Listen, you walk into a neighborhood where it's just drug infested. You walk down the street and every drug dealer goes, "Oh, Lord, who are you, man? You are convicting me. What, who are you? Where are you from? Where is this power coming from?" And you get all them born again. That's the kind of power we should have. It's the kind of power we got. That's the kind of power God has in us. Let me ask you a question. You think Jesus would be afraid to come to Fifth Ward if he came to the earth? You think he'd be, listen, name the most roughest neighborhood in your anywhere in this country. He'd go there. He'd go there. He would go there with no gun, with no protection, with no badge, with not, with, now get this, with no Bible. He wouldn't. Hold on. And he wouldn't go with any healing oil either. Amen. He is the oil. He is the word. But listen, as he is, so are we. I set you up. I set you up. I sure did. See, this is why we want to engage in private worship. This is what we got to get to. This can only be a dream or a desire. It's got to be a reality. It's got to be something that we walk in every day. It's got to be something that they go, "Hey, who are you? And you're not like them other guys at that, I won't name the denomination, but the other place. You're different. You sit down and talk to me. You relate to me. You're not afraid of me." Do you think Jesus would be afraid of them? No. You know why you are afraid of them? The world has made you afraid of them. Romans 12, verse 1 through 3. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. See, all of us have been transformed. I got a message to preach on worship and finances. Or when I preach that message, I'm gonna blow the doors off the devil. I'm gonna show you why many people are in poverty. It's because it's the power of money. I don't want to get into that right now, but we'll get that in a later day. See, at Dominion Training Center, God's always got me looking ahead. He always has me looking down the road. Why? Because we're going someplace. It's not just some come and fellowship and eat some food. And sometimes it ain't good food. You been all right with the food? Robert says it's okay. So I'm just messing around. Let me get busy. Progression into extended worship. After hearing these messages on extended worship, you'll be excited to jump in and get started. At least I hope you will. But soon thereafter, the enemy will begin to discourage you. The minutes will slowly pass by. As you schedule your worship time, you'll begin to say things like, "I love you, Lord. I give you praise. I magnify you." And it'll seem like you're like a piece of beef hanging in a cold meat locker. You'll feel like your words are hitting the ceiling and falling back down. As Dave Roberson used to put it, I felt I was dry as cracker juice. Your flesh will begin to rebel against you. But through all of this, I'm going to tell you, don't stop.
Amen.
Don't stop. You see, the thing is that if he can stop you, if the enemy can stop you, then he can stop you with money. He can stop you with pressure. He can stop you with power. But if you can stay in there and give him praise, when there's nobody clapping their hands and waving, going, hallelujah, oh, preach it, brother. When you can keep going without that kind of encouragement,
yes.
Then you overcome the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in that chokes the word, you will not be defeated.
Amen.
That's why it's such a struggle, and it will be a struggle to break into private worship.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while.
Yeah.
And I went in, I figured, oh, I can get this. It's worship. Psst, worship. Who can't worship God?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the first time I went in there, I realized,
mm-hmm.
This is a challenge. But now I can worship him for 45 minutes to an hour. I can go past that. I ain't boasting. I can go past that because I love him. I love his presence. It doesn't bother me anymore because why? I've overcome that. And the world has that in everybody. The world has put, I don't care who you are. If you were born into the earth, how many of you were hatched? Okay, I don't see any hands. So everybody's born. One up here? Okay. So if you were born into the world, I promise you, the world has conformed you to its fear. And as I said earlier, there's a power in money. There's a power to have money. Then there's a power to keep money. And then there are some people that are so fearful of money, you don't feel that you're worthy to have anything. It's the same power, just in reverse. There are Christians that walk around saying, I'm just a lonely person for God. I don't want much because I give me a shack on the backside of a mountain and God will be pleased with me. He ain't pleased with you. God doesn't care how much money you got. Listen, he ain't impressed with, I don't care if you're a billionaire. He's not impressed with you. You know why? Because your money ain't expanding the kingdom of God. God doesn't care if you make $200,000 a year. If it ain't expanding the kingdom of God, he ain't impressed with you.
Amen.
God's not impressed with you just because you live in a nice fancy house. You know why? Because part of that house could be used expanding the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Just because you look at someone and you're going, man, look at that suit. Oh, look at them. Oh, man, look at the cars. Oh, gosh. Oh, man, that man rolling. Oh, boy, they got it going on. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
They are trapped by the power of money.
Amen.
And then listen. Listen, I'm going to say this to you. There are many churches. This is how we do our thing here at DTC. There are many churches that if they were to lose their 501c3 status and lose that precious 10% tax deductible, they'd go under. And here at DTC, that was my biggest concern. Do I go to be a 501c3? Because I don't need it. Yeah, but I get a 10% tax write-off. If you need a 10% incentive to give, quit giving.
Amen.
Quit giving.
Amen.
Quit giving.
Mm-hmm.
If that 10% write-off is what you're looking for at the end of the year, I'm not saying you should take advantage of it. But if that's what motivates you to give, you got the wrong motivation,
Amen.
Partner. You don't love God. You looking at God as a tax write-off.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't shout me down when I'm preaching real good. No, I know that shakes. What did he say? It's the truth. It's the truth. Paul said, God loves a cheerful giver. I've had pastors teach me this. You don't pay them tithes, he'll make you sick, and you wish you had. If God don't get your tithes willingly, he'll get them some other way. You'll be in the hospital.
Amen. That's right.
For all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll send in $37.17, your whole household will be saved. For all that stuff. It's the power of money. The enemy has perverted it. Your Christianity is not gauged by how big your checking account is. It's gauged by how big your love for God is. And you give because you love God. You give to Dominion Training Center because you love God, not Pastor Craig. You love God. And you love the message that we teach here, and you want the message to go on. I don't know how I got off on that, but that ain't my message tonight. During these dry times when you're giving God praise, you'll feel cold and hard. It does not mean God is not coming. I've heard pastors preach, just because when you worship God, you don't feel him, it means that you're not breaking into worship. That's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. It's not true. Every time you say, I love you, he goes, got it. Every time you say, I praise you, got it. And he keeps all of them right before his throne. Got all of them bottled up. There must be some big old bottles, man. Got them all bottled up. But you feel, God, I'm not getting in. I don't have any emotion. I don't have any excitement. This is not, I'm not feeling this. Get out of your feelings. This is why the majority of the churches miss the love of God. You said, I don't feel love. Husband and wife, I don't feel like I love her anymore. You ain't supposed to feel like you love her. You ain't supposed to feel like you love him. You made a decision at that altar to love them. Amen. Now just tell God you lied and get done with it. Just get over yourself. Just tell him you lied. Well, I lied because I wanted something. I wanted what she had, not really that I loved. Just be honest about it. Don't tell God. Don't try to con God. But love is a decision. Worshiping God is a decision. When you begin to worship God, you're not moved by, I just don't feel nothing. It ain't about feelings. Now, feelings will come. I promise you his presence on the way. But you've got so much flesh surrounding you. If he sent it now, it'd kill you by the time you felt it. What do you tell Moses? No man has seen me and lived. What was he saying? You got the wrong equipment, man. You ain't got the right equipment. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall... Come on, somebody. When I worship him out of spirit and in truth, out of a pure heart, oh, he comes with this presence.
Yes, he does.
He comes with this presence. Whew. I don't know about you, but I don't preach myself happy. Just because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's not receiving the worship. Sometimes when you feel him the least are the times when you're breaking through the presence the most. I just keep on going. Now, I'm going to give you some keys here in a moment that you must follow when you begin to worship him. And before I run out of time, I'm going to give those to you now. The most important thing isn't how eloquent your speech sounds. I've heard people say, oh, holy and righteous and wonderful God. And you call that worship. God ain't impressed by that. You know why? Because none of you was in it. It was just your natural mind reciting something that you have learned. What God wants to find is, he wants to hear is this, I love you. And it's coming from all of your inside. Your mind and your soul, your emotions, your heart. It's coming out and he's going, yeah, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling you now, son. Now, you may not be feeling him, but he's feeling you. When you give God praise, learn to keep your mind in the present. Meaning this. You begin to worship God. I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. And your mind runs off trying to solve this problem that you've had all day long. That ain't worshiping God. That's not proper protocol. See, you wouldn't go to President Trump and be talking to him. Your phone rings. You say, hold on now, Donald. You would not do that. You would not do that. So when you're worshiping God, you don't allow your mind to wander down the street to handle some problem of the day. You go down there and say, hey, you, come here. Get over here. We're going to go worship him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to be present when we worship him.
Amen.
Now, those are just two simple things I want to give you when you start giving God praise. Now, here's what I do. Here's what the Holy Spirit taught me. He said, son, count from 1 to 10 in your mind. So I want you to start counting from 1 to 10 in your mind. Start. Now say your name out loud. Now what happened to your counting? It stopped because your mind had to stop to hear what your mouth was saying. When you begin to say, I love you, just make sure you're hearing that. Make sure you're listening to that. Make sure you don't keep saying, I love you, and you go on automatic co-pilot, and you're saying, I love you, in some rote or some routine or some automatic thing. Just listen to what you're saying. I love you. Listen. The thoughts, the words, the expressions, it may seem that it's coming from your mind, but it's coming from your heart. And the closer you get to him, you'll begin to realize that. Why? Because you'll slow down. People that I hear go, I worship you, I praise you, I go, I praise you, are people that pray in tongues real fast. You're in works. I'm not criticizing you, but you're in works. Slow down. Let that come from your heart. Shanda kre kroko. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to the King. Why would I go to President Trump and go, President Trump, how you doing? Good to see you. Oh, man, you a good guy? You good? Oh, yeah, I love you. Oh, I can't have a conversation like that. I'm going to talk slow. I'm going to talk deliberate. Amen. I'm going to get my mind across to him. Right? Quebre no crosta. Chile cabrona cristo naka. I'm talking to my King. I'm speaking to him. I'm not talking at him. I'm talking to him. Now, my mind is unfruitful. I get that. But my point is, I am talking to my King. Now, when I go into worship, I'm not going, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. No. I love you, 1001, 1002, or 1003. And I'm making sure I'm in the present. I'm making sure all of me is there. These are important tips now. I wish I had learned them when I first started breaking into worship. I had to go back on Robers and tape and dig all this stuff out. I've listened to Robeson and stuff so long. I've got volumes written up on how he got into private worship. Because when you first hear it, there's so much information, you're just blown away. Yeah. And you go, I want to do it. And you just break in there and start doing it. And you forget about all the baby steps you need to take. Mm-hmm. Keep your presence. Keep your mind in the present. Mm-hmm. Keep your heart and mind and soul focused on him. You need, now, initially, you ought to find you a bathroom and go in there and shut it so nobody bothers you. Yeah. Or wherever you can go privately. Now, after a while, you don't need that. You could be at church service and they're singing, I am a friend of God, and you're saying, he's my father. I'm not a friend. I'm your son. I refuse to call you friend. You're my father, and I'm your son. That's how you'll be preaching. Amen. To yourself. You ain't mad at them. You're just affirming who you are. Amen. Why? That's private worship. You're hooked up to him now. Amen. You're hooked up to him. You understand discipline. You understand who you're talking to. See, if the congregation at any church could begin to realize who they were worshiping, there wouldn't be a one person walk out of there with any sickness at all. I said any sickness at all. They'd bring them in from the hospital on gurneys, and they'll be on stage. They'll be in stage 4 cancer, and they'll get up from there and go, this praise is awesome. And they'll be revived, and they'll get up, and they'll start praising God, if we'll ever get there. But because we come to church, and we're fussing, we're fighting, we're trying to get a parking spot, we're late to church, we're trying to get on our aisle, we're trying to make sure we get it right for God, and we forget that, listen, it's all about him. Yes. This is why every day you need to find time to spend time to worship him. Amen. Now listen, initially your worship time will be like, how many are broken into praying in tongues? How many, let me see your hands. You pray in tongues every day. Okay, well, do you remember how hard it was? Yeah. Gosh, I remember when I woke up, stop now. But I remember I said, I'm going to pray in tongues. I woke up in the morning at 5 o'clock. I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. I woke up at 6 o'clock and got ready and went to work. And that happened for about 2 or 3 weeks, or at least 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I didn't stop.
Amen.
I didn't stop. Same way with worship. Mm-hmm. I went in and worshiped him for 5 minutes and went, whew, I thought it was going to be easy. I got up to 20 minutes and I went, why ain't he coming? 20 minutes ought to be enough. You know what he told me? You're in works. See, when I hear Christians tell me, Pastor, I tried this and I tried that, it ain't working. You ain't works. Amen. You ain't got to pay me nothing for that. That was free. That is free. But I'm telling you the truth. Many Christians are in works. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying I want you to get in faith.
Amen.
Why? The power is needed now.
Amen.
We can't wait any longer, folks. We need it now.
Yeah.
All this fussing and fighting. Listen, sometimes the churches are the most divided thing I've ever seen. You'll see somebody in church you don't like and you go, huh? And then you'll raise your hand and say, I love you. I worship you. I magnify your name. And you hate the guy over there. A brook cannot bring both bitter and sweet waters.
Amen.
The brook already had bitter waters. It was pretending to be sweet. Private worship will get all that stuff out of you.
Amen.
Why? The closer you get to God, as you begin to rub up on him, as you begin to spend time with him, he'll begin to change you into who he is.
Amen.
That's his job.
Glory.
That's why he came, is to turn you into who he was.
Amen.
Not to leave you like you are. It's to change you. He didn't come to leave the sick sick. He came for the sick to be healed. He didn't come to leave the poverty in poverty. He came that the poverty might be made rich. It all preaches, don't it? I love the gospel, man. Well, I'm going to end right there. Glory to God. I just love preaching the word of God.